Morning, everybody. Thank you for your very unexpected and delightful best wishes. Something I'm trying to forget, to be honest, I think. I don't know what it is about this particular birth. I'm 60, okay? I've sent off for my bus pass. I can't believe that this is happening to me. Well, hopefully everybody's reappearing from your mince pie comas, and it's been a good Christmas for you all. This is our last Christmas service, and we've got this amazing text to think about today. It's in Luke's Gospel, and it's the final infant song that Luke records. It's Simeon's song. And so before we carry on, Rachel's going to come up and read God's word to us.
This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, and we're starting at verse 25. Sorry, 22. Take my glasses off and see better. Jesus presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice in keeping with what is said in law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, for him, what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign of what will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Rachel. Let's pray as we sit, shall we? And Father, this morning we want to thank you so much for such an amazing text, such a heartfelt response that Simeon shows to the promises that you've given, how many years he waited, how patient he was. And yet your promises were fulfilled in his life as you promise to fulfill them in our own. And so we pray this morning, Lord, that just as you spoke very clearly to him, you'll speak very clearly to us as well. And we'll go away knowing for sure that Jesus is the Messiah and Jesus is my Savior. Thank you. Amen. Anybody recognize this fella? His name was Stanley Green. And from about 1968 to 1993, he was a very well-known person on Oxford Street. And he was known as the Protein Man. And what happened every day, bar Sundays, Stanley would get on his bike in Northolt in northwest London and cycle 15 miles with his placard on his back and spend the day walking up and down Oxford Street purveying his message. And essentially it was about protein and too much sitting caused far too much lust in our lives. And that was his message. And I guess that most people thought that he was a few coupons short of a toaster. But nevertheless, he came every day and walked up and down selling his leaflets that protein, too much protein, was dangerous for you. He used to have little booklets as well about the dangers of lust and passion caused by fish and meat and cheese and egg and peas and beans and nuts and sitting. And he would sell his leaflets. Well, at the end of that time, they were 12p. I think they started off at something like 8p. And they were, and he'd get rid of maybe 25 during a weekday, 50 in a weekend. He took to wearing overalls because he sometimes said he used to go home and find spit was on him because people were taking the mick out of him. And in fact, in what there were about 84 editions of this little booklet that he handed out. In one of the book, anybody listen? Do you know the Archers on Radio 4? La 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 la. Well, that's what I think our national anthem ought to be sounding like. But anyway, he wrote about that in one of these editions of his books, and he believed that the Archers were a great purveyor of filth. Now, I don't know if you've listened to the Archers. It's never struck me as a purveyor of filth, but hey, that was one of his things. And then all of a sudden, he was gone. He didn't appear anymore. And I found out he died in 1993. And right up until that point, he'd been going down to Oxford Street. He stopped cycling in the end because he got a bus pass.
Yes.
And you might be asking, what's that got to do with our reading today? What's all that got to do with Simeon? Oh, well, all that was left, there he is. Now, just let me, I'll run through these for you. That was a colour one of him. And that's all that's left. That's in the Museum of London. You can go and see one of his placards in the Museum of London. And that's all that's left of Stanley. And he was gone. And what's that got to do with Simeon? Well, I guess that when I think about Simeon, I think about this story, I tend to think a little bit about Stanley Green. The Bible doesn't actually tell us a whole lot about Simeon. We've got his name and address. It's like a blind date. What's your name? Where'd you come from? Those are the first two things that we really want to know about somebody. So his name was Simeon, and he lived in Jerusalem. And he was a man committed to God. He was a righteous man. We're told God had given him a special revelation, not as a priest or anything. He wasn't anything special, but God had given him a revelation, this normal bloke, a revelation that he was going to see the promised Messiah before he died with his own eyes. Now, forgive me for just using my imagination a little bit here. I don't know how often Simeon used to come to the temple, but my guess is that he used to come every day. That would be the location that he would expect God to work. So my guess is that Simeon would come every day looking for the Messiah. It's what Luke calls the consolation of Israel. That's another title given to Jesus. Jesus was the Messiah who would bring God's consolation, comfort to a suffering people. And I'm sure that through all those years of waiting and turning up, Simeon became a fixture in Jerusalem and in the temple. That isn't actually a photograph of the temple because it doesn't exist anymore. But in Jesus' day, that's what it would look like. Jerusalem was already over 1,000 years old, or around 1,000 years old. Major, major tourist attraction. People used to turn up in tens of thousands every year on pilgrimages. And they probably have tour guides going round. I don't know if they had open-top chariots and things like that where you can swing round Jerusalem and have things pointed out. I don't know, but they would have had people to, because people didn't know where they were going. It was huge. That temple there is about 35 acres. It was one of the wonders of the world. when you were walking up to Jerusalem, which is up in the mountains, you could see this temple shining. It's 23 football pitches, and people were probably going around being showed this. Yes, oh, that's all very well, but who's that? Who's that fella there? Who's the old man hanging around the temple? Well, he's not exactly Stanley Green, but he's a kind of forerunner. We think he's a bit touched. He comes around every day actually thinking that he is going to see the Messiah. And he's been coming for years. And he's been disappointed for years. Now, I don't know if that's exactly true, but I'm pretty sure that he'd be the object of fun. He is the kind of person that we like to laugh at. They'd be laughing, Simeon, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to see the Messiah. Well, what makes you think that? Because God has told me that I'm not going to die before I see the Messiah with my own eyes. And Luke gives us four things about Simeon's character. First, that he was righteous and devout. And that means that he loved God on the one hand, and he loved his neighbours on the other hand. And a bit later in verse 29 of our reading, he calls himself a servant or a slave of the sovereign Lord. That means Simeon knew who he belonged to. He belonged to God, and he referred to God as his sovereign Lord and master. So his days were filled up with his duty and reverence towards God and his duty towards his brothers and sisters, his fellow human beings. Second, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And what that means is that he'd been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. The rabbis in those days had a lot of different names for the Messiah, and one of them was the Comforter. And they got that name from Isaiah chapter 40. And those are words that were turned into a song in Handel's Messiah. Comfort ye, my people, says your God. The Messiah, the promised Messiah, would be the Comforter for God's suffering people. And Simeon was just filled up with expectation that that was going to happen. Third, we're told that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, the thing in those Old Testament days, before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit was given to every believer, dwell in them permanently, the Holy Spirit didn't come in that way. The Holy Spirit was sent by God to do particular jobs at particular times through particular people to fulfill his purposes. So God would come and give the prophet a word, and the prophet would speak that word out into that situation. They spoke with the authority of God himself. And that's what's happening to Simeon here. The Holy Spirit's filling him up and giving him a knowledge and words that only God can know. And fourth, in verse 26, the Holy Spirit has told him that he isn't going to die before he sees the Messiah. He'd seen the Messiah with his own eyes before he died. So four things that characterized this old man Simeon. He was a man who lived right by God. He was a waiting man, a patient man. He was a man who'd been given the Holy Spirit of God to reveal stuff to him. And he believed with all his heart that he was going to see the Messiah. If you've got your Bibles open, look at verse 27. It describes God's perfect timing. Moved by the Holy Spirit, Simeon came into the temple at exactly the same time that Jesus was brought into the temple by Mary and Joseph. It was a dramatic face-to-face encounter. The old man, Simeon, who'd been waiting all down those years, and the baby Jesus. They came there at the exact moment that Simeon arrived. And Simeon goes over and he interrupts Mary and Joseph, and he took Jesus in his arms and he started to sing this new song. The church made a song in Latin about it. It's called the Nunc Dimittis. We don't do it here at Christ Church, but Nunc Dimittis in Latin means now you dismiss. And often the church will repeat that song as praise to God. This old man is holding the baby Jesus and he's singing, now let your servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. They've seen the light. He is here. Four things about Simeon's song. We're not going to look at all of them in depth. But the first is Simeon's song show that it's the fulfillment of God's promises. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, in verse 29. And that's not just a promise to Simeon that he's going to see the Messiah. Those are all the promises declared in the Old Testament, written down in the Old Testament, pointing forward to the fact that God was going to send somebody. As you've promised. Second, the salvation of God. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared. God has sent a rescuer. Did you know you needed one? Third, he's the light of the world. That's because we live in darkness without him. Did you know that? And fourth, he's going to be the cause of division. It's a bit unpalatable. So we're only going to think about that first one for a few minutes. The waiting bit, waiting on those promises that the Messiah was promised way back at the beginning. And right through the Old Testament, there were promises put in place. Over 2,000 years up to that point, God had given pointers to his people through the prophets that he was going to send somebody. More promises, and they waited and they waited, and more promises came, and gradually they were recorded in what we have as the Old Testament. So you can read them. You can read about these promises in the Old Testament. And they all pointed to one person. One man, the Messiah. There are 61 major promises in the Old Testament about the coming of Jesus. And if you could prove, well, years ago, a Christian publishing company in Denver used to say that if you could prove that half of those promises were fulfilled in anybody else, they'd give you $500, which in those days was a lot of money. The fact is, nobody was ever able to claim it. Is it a coincidence? Couldn't somebody else have fulfilled those promises? I mean, after all, there have been some pretty amazing people. You've got Martin Luther King. He was a good man. Gandhi. Could have Gandhi. What about who's the fella over in Tibet? The Dalai Lama. What about him? Couldn't he fulfill these promises? About Boris Johnson. No, he just thinks he's the Messiah. That's okay. No, I'm just... Maybe one or two could be fulfilled by somebody, but 61? A fellow called Peter Stoner, many years ago, was a scientist. He looked into this, and he worked out the likelihood, the possibility of just 8 of those Old Testament promises being fulfilled by one person. He worked out the likelihood of 8. So counting from the beginning, as far as he was able, from when Genesis started down to the present day, the billions of people that have come into the world, he worked out the probability, the possibility of 8 of these promises being fulfilled by one person. And he took the following prophecies. First, that he would be born as a man, Genesis 3, verse 15, you can read it. Second, that he would be preceded by a messenger, Isaiah 40, verse 3. Third, he would enter Jerusalem on a donkey, Zechariah 9, verse 9. Four, that he would be betrayed by a friend and have his hands and feet pierced, Psalm 41, verse 9. Five, he'd be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11, verse 9. Six, that money be thrown in God's house and then given to buy a potter's field, Zechariah 11, verse 13. Seven, that he wouldn't say a word before his accusers, Isaiah 53, verse 7. And eight, that he'd be crucified. Eight prophecies about the coming Messiah. And Stoner found that the chance of one person living down to the present day and fulfilling eight prophecies is one with 17 zeros after it. One person in 100,000 million million people would fulfill just eight prophecies. And he said that that's the same thing as taking an old silver dollar and cover that outline there is Texas. And that's the size of Texas in comparison to the UK. And he said it was the same as taking a silver dollar and covering the entire state of Texas, and that many coins would be 2 feet deep. Then he said, if you take one silver dollar and you get a Sharpie and you mark it and you throw it into the mix and you wiggle your finger about and stir it, then you take a man or a lady and you blindfold them and you tell them, they take as long as you like, but the first coin you've got to pick out has got to be that marked silver dollar. That is the chance of just eight prophecies being fulfilled by one person down to the present day. So then he went a bit further. What about 48 prophecies? Well, the fact is that silver dollars are far too big for 48 prophecies. So he did it with electrons. Now, electrons are tiny. You can hear how tiny they are, but how high my voice goes. They are tiny, tiny little things. And what he did, apparently scientifically this isn't possible, but he said if you could line up a line of electrons 1 inch long, one after the other, and you counted them at 250 a minute, day and night, it would take you 19 million years to count them all. Then if you have a square, like a cube of electrons, it's 19 million years by 19 million years by 19 million years. Then you take an electron and you get your Sharpie and you mark it and you chuck it into the mix, and then you've got the person who's been unemployed for 5 minutes standing there with a blindfold on, and you say to them, out of that pile of electrons, I want you, blindfold, to pick that one electron out first go. That is the chance of 48 prophecies being fulfilled down to the present day by one person. There are 61 major prophecies, all fulfilled by the person of Jesus Christ. There's nobody else who even comes close. So what we have, when we think of this baby lying in the arms of Simeon, this helpless child in a manger, is the God who existed before all time, the God who created the stars, the God who keeps everything held together by his amazing power, reducing himself, making himself tiny and vulnerable and human, because it's what God promised. And Simeon knows this. Simeon's steeped in the Old Testament. He knows all these promises. He knows his Bible. All those promises and all those prophecies and all those generations that have come and gone and waited and known what those promises were are lying. Simeon. Just as God said, and Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." You see what he's saying? I've seen him. I don't need to see any more. I don't need to be here in 12 years' time when he's brought to the temple and his mum and dad forget him and he's found talking to the scribes. I don't need to be around in 30 years' time when he starts his public ministry. I don't need to go and listen to his teaching. I don't need to go and watch those fabulous miracles that he does. I don't need to go up that Mount of Transfiguration with three other disciples and watch him explode into light. I don't need to be there when he's led away to be nailed to a cross. I don't need to be there when he's raised from the dead. I've seen all that I need to see. I don't need to see any more. See, folks, this is a lesson in spiritual recognition. If you're like me, when you look at a newborn baby, you just see a potato. They don't get interesting till they're 3 years old. But this is what really counts. The question is here, is do we see Jesus as just a baby, just a potato in Mary's arms or in Simeon's arms? Is it just a surface thing that we're seeing? Or are we seeing the amazing promises of God being fulfilled in one person, one, the only person? Do you see Jesus as the fulfillment of those 61 promises in the Old Testament, of him being God's chosen rescuer for you and for me, of the one who's going to cause division, those who believe and those who won't believe it? Is there something going on in your heart and your mind that's being stirred by this? Because if there is, then that's got to be the work of God's Holy Spirit inside you saying, yes, it's a big tick. He's providing that knowledge deep in your mind and your heart. He's saying yes to them. That's my experience. I know many of us have that experience. Is that your experience? We can take him in our arms and make him our, claim him as the Savior that you need, that we all need. There's nothing more important as we move into a new year, following in the steps of old man Simeon.